Wisconsin is going back to work.
I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind, Wisconsin Ice summary of this week in the Capitol. Well, J.R., the county clerks have checked, double-checked, triple-checked. Let's talk about two of these races. First, in the 6th Congressional District, the winner is still, the envelope, please.
Glenn Grothman.
Glenn Grothman.
219 votes, up total of 6 from the original count. So not a huge margin, but still, you know, it's enough to win. And for everything kind of hearing, talking to people, I don't expect Libum to ask for a recount.
He
has until Monday.
He gets a freebie.
At 5 p.m., gets a freebie. It's with, well, free to him.
Free to him.
It's within the margin that you need for that. But
which means taxpayers pay, but
yes,
excuse me.
He's got too much of a good guy image. Doesn't want to be seen as a sore loser. And there's kind of a realization that even at 219, that's not a, it's not very easy to overturn that kind of a margin in a recount unless you find a ballot of bags, which you would have found during the canvass, or there's massive screw-up somewhere, which, again, should be found on the canvas. You don't usually see votes change that dramatically, even with 60-some thousand votes cast in that primary. So the thinking is it would just delay the inevitable, and that got Glenn Grothman for the nomination.
One of the questions while we're talking about the Grothman's apparent victory is I wondered whether a recount would cause him to pause and not immediately focus on his Democratic opponent, Winnebago County Exec Mark Harris. But you don't see a recount,
no.
So you don't see a pause.
No, you know, Harris, he's in this position where he would need money to come in to make him a legitimate threat to growth in that seat. We're talking about Republican-leaning seat in a Republican-looking year. It's not the best environment to pick somebody off, even when it's open, even with someone like Glenn, who's said some things are controversial in the past. Maybe it's better for him in 2016, the Democrats would go after him then when you had a better Democratic turnout. But yeah, for the most part, I don't get the impression Glenn's too worried about Mark Harris right now. Though, you know, it's still a couple months away, so maybe things will change.
And then the local canvas still shows in the 17th Senate District, Ernie Whitwer.
Up by 7 votes.
7 votes over,
two,
over Pat Baumhack, Democratic primary.
Get much more vibe that Pat will ask for a recount until 5 o'clock today to do that.
That's his deadline?
Mm-hmm. Now, the problem there is that, much like you're talking about Mark Harris, this one, there is a better shot to win for Democrats, but they're talking about delaying going after a Howard Mark line. Now you're talking about Ernie and Pat focusing on the recount rather than raising money, doing stuff against Mark line. Now, let's be honest, the party will raise money for whoever's going to win, be doing things for him, but it's still a delay. It's still less time, and you got 75 days or whatever it is right now to the election.
What's the timeline on a recount, do you think?
It depends how long it takes to go through. It could take a week.
How long did that Prosser Kloppenberg take? That took
Painful.
Well,
it was daily. Well, that was different because you had all these like issues where the bag wasn't sealed properly, and so they had these kind of side. That's the right word for it. But you know, these things beyond just the actual count popped up.
That was our hanging Chad recount.
Yes, ballot security. That became a big buzzword after that.
Yes,
election.
It did.
So, but again, not great for Democrats to take out that seat if they're going to have a recount and have it drag out for a while.
Okay.
And don't forget, 87th. Have a recount going on. Michael Bubb finished 17 votes behind James Edming. That one, not as big a deal for control in November because it's a pretty Republican seat. So that should win. Whoever wins that one should likely come out when the election in November as well.
So Baumhack has until 5 p.m. today to decide on a recount, and Grothman, Libum's got
5 p.m. Monday.
5 p.m. Monday. Thanks. You know, JR, I want to ask you, why did the Greater Wisconsin PAC pick the third week in August to run $737,000 worth of ads against Scott Walker? Is this an invitation to other PACs nationally? Hey, we're dropping heavy money in here. You come in and drop heavy money. This is winnable for Mary Burke.
A couple things I've heard is that one, Grader, who's obviously been the big message vehicle for Democrats for a number of election cycles now, when it goes up, it tends to stay up. Remember that this is coming about 2.5 weeks after WEAC, the big teachers union, or once big teachers union. Transferred about $1.3 million over to the PAC, Great Wisconsin PAC, so they have the money now. This may be the opening salvo for the Democratic groups. We're going to be up against Scott Walker from now until the end. What's good for Mary Burke is, as far as we can tell, she's still neck and neck with Governor Walker. Nothing has changed that impression in the last few weeks. She can make that sales pitch to outside groups, look, we're even, this is a winnable race. And if you start looking at the map, you know, Ohio's fallen off as being a competitive race that was not going well for Democrats. Wisconsin is getting better for them. Maybe you're going to see more groups come in. The question is, how effective will TV be? There's going to be a lot of TV on the air between now and then, but people are so locked in for or against Walker. Will it change anybody's mind? Will it move voters? You're talking a very small sliver of the electorate that might move. It might really be a base-on-base election. This as all might be about who turns out their base come November.
If it's a base on base, as you just said, it's who turns out to vote. Were you surprised that Walker instantly, within hours, called a press conference to respond to the Greater Wisconsin PAC ads?
I mean, in some ways, it's smart to try and get your line in there in the story about the ad. But yeah, it shows that they're very sensitive to what's going on out there and the kind of attack line about jobs. He knows jobs are a vulnerability for him. And what's interesting was he started using jobs numbers that he, 2 years ago, said were unreliable, that don't pay attention to the monthly stuff, pay attention to the quarterly stuff. Well, now he's using the monthly stuff to knock back this this jab that Wisconsin's dead last in the Midwest. No, we're third. Well, it's by account. Now, we'll see quarterly numbers in September. Maybe that has a better picture for Wisconsin then, but until then, it's kind of an interesting tactic for him to be switching gears. Now, his backers say, look, we have to use the best information available now to beat back this attack because we know we're doing better. We know Wisconsin's getting better. The Democrats got, Walker's kind of panicking a little bit, trying to get, he can't figure out what to do in this election right now, or the message to use against Mary Burke.
It looks like his internal polls show, just as Charles Franklin's polls do, that it's neck and neck, right? And his responses would tend to indicate that.
And they've had a hard time kind of defining her and finding an effective message. Now, I had heard from people that the outsourcing one had definitely had potential, and that they thought it was going to be effective against Mary Burke, much like it was against Mitt Romney in 2012. But he got so much blowback from Republicans about it in the business community, he basically kind of had to walk away from it a little bit.
Okay. Democratic Senator Jennifer Schilling got a Legislative Fiscal Bureau report which said, I want to get it right. Had Wisconsin accepted the federal government's offer to pay 100% of the Medicaid expansion, we would have saved $206 million in general funds in this two-year budget, largely because the feds would have spent an additional $560 million more. Well, it was interesting. She put this out. She got top story billing in a lot of the Sunday papers. Mm-hmm. How effective?
That is not an issue that polls well for Walker. I mean, it's not necessarily going to drive this race come November, but it's not one that people have agreed with his approach, which, remember, he said, look, we're not going to rely on the federal government for this money. We're going to take everybody below the poverty line for the first time ever in Wisconsin, cover them through Badger Care.
Yep.
Those above the poverty line, we're going to push them in the exchanges and have them get health care through that. That's what President Obama wants us to do, in terms of covering people uninsured. We're going to use that mechanism to reduce our reliance on the federal government and help people get on their feet and on their own.
And on this issue, JR, if you look at, the Walker administration told about 66,000 people, you'll have to go out there and find your own insurance. You're no longer eligible for Badger Care. But the upper, about 33,000. So can't he still say, look, the bottom line is more people, 33,000 more got health care.
Well, that's what he's arguing, saying there's no gap in coverage for those below the poverty line. But Tammy Baldwin this week, again, asked, what happened to folks who were pushed off of Badger Care in the market? Where are they? Did they buy insurance? The Walker administration does not know and says they could have either gotten insurance with a private employer, other means. So it's kind of this constant.
Some of them may well show up in ads in these campaigns. I'm sorry to interrupt
you. Yes, and every time it comes up, it's the same thing over and over again. Walker's saying, we did the fiscally prudent thing. Dems saying, look, you could have done more, and the question of where these folks are. And it's not going to be resolved anytime soon.
But I think you said, let's go back to it. You think this is a tough issue for voters to keep track of.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have $206 million more general funds, but yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Doesn't work?
People,
doesn't resonate?
If you look at the polls like Marquette, they would have preferred the expansion of Medicaid. But what does that mean? How do you dive down in that issue? Republicans will argue that, look, if you explain to people that we're relying on the feds to produce this money, and we can't trust them because they're kind of out of money, that's kind of their argument or their comeback, that we made the right choice because we're not relying on this magical money, if you will, that, oh, by the way, comes to taxpayers in the end anyway.
And Walker's response is, it's a Wisconsin way to not trust the federal government?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And Democrats live in an alternative universe.
That's his other line. That's his other line. Okay, in non-political news, the UW System Regents just yesterday said, we're going to ask in the next biennial budget for $95 million more. I looked it up. That's an increase of 4.2% because right now in the current two-year budget, we taxpayers are giving the Regents, the UW System, $2.24 billion.
Yeah.
Now, Walker says, I only have one promise, and that is that I'm going to recommend and push for a second two-year tuition freeze.
Yes.
Is Mr. Cross, system president, and are the leggies still mad at the UW?
They don't trust them. Let's back up.
Okay.
Republican leggies haven't trusted the system for years. I mean, I've been up here for 14 now. They didn't trust Catherine Lyle back in the day, when I got up here. So That hasn't changed. And I will disagree when you say that this is not a political issue. It is. It's all about politics. What will they do when this budget comes before them? Now, let's also be clear. This is if Governor Walker is reelected. You know, if it's a Governor Burke, it could be a much different sort of UW system. But right. If Walker's elected, he's promising a two-year tuition freeze. We expect Republicans to hold the Assembly, the Senate, you know, a little more up in the air. But I expect Robin Voss, and almost everybody does, to hold UW's feet to the fire. They are not happy with those guys yet. They have not got their pound of flesh, if you will, just yet. So I don't know if this will fly. I
mean, but the plea, give us $95 million more, is coming from Ray Cross, yep. who the governor signed off on, yep. who's called on many, if not all, edgies, making friends, saying, you know, there's a new day coming. We need this for the talent initiative. Don't you think they're in a little bit better shape than they were 2 years ago?
Better, but how much is still in the, you know, quote-unquote slush fund that Republicans knocked them on for months? I mean, that's the other thing. What is there to be used? Now, the system said, look, we need a reserve of a certain percent. This is in line with other universities. We're doing okay here. I don't know if Republicans are quite there yet. They might get there by February when the new budget comes out, but maybe not right now.
Asking for an increase at 4.2% goes against the budget instructions that the Walker administration set, told his agencies, don't assume any new money with the exception of CPI or inflation.
I've read a number of budget directions from governors that said, don't expect yes. new money, that were ignored by right. a number of agencies in the end.
Right. So. And then finally, in a sign of how long it's taken Wisconsin's economy to emerge from the Great Recession, the Department of Revenue, in its annual report on equalized property values, said residential property is up, let me get it right, 2.5%. Now, that's the first time since 2008 that yeah. we've seen an increase in residential property values. And that's not a huge number, but still, a rising residential property values are better than falling.
Yeah, new construction is helping that as well. So, yes. I mean, I've talked, and my uncle does remodeling. He talked about how the guys who used to build houses had to go into remodeling for a while because there was no business. They're getting out of remodeling and going back to build houses because there are people are spending money again.
Yes.
So that's, you know, it's a good thing for the economy overall if you see that kind of push of money in the economy.
And let's look at the other totals for the different other classes of property. The DOR report said, first of all, overall, state of Wisconsin property values were up 2.6%, but by classes of property, residential, as we said, up 2.5%, and commercial property up 3.2%, manufacturing up 2.2%, and ag land off 2.1%. Local governments will be using these Department of Revenue values when they adopt their 2015 budgets. Mm-hmm. And they'll base their 2015 levies on them. So yes. A little bit of good news on the economy. Okay, time for WisPolitics. Stock report.
So rising Glenn Grothman. I mean, even if Libum requests a recount, which we're not expecting, Grothman has increased his lead. He's in a very good position. The guy did an excellent job of, he's had this, this penchant for making controversial statements.
Yes.
But he used it as an advantage where he went to voters and said, look, you know, this is a Republican primary where the most conservative people turning out.
Yes.
I take on tough issues. Yeah. I say things that may not sit well with the
mainstream media. I'm outspoken.
But I fight the good fight, and you guys want me in Washington, D.C. doing that.
But my question is, between now and the general election, can Grothman not say anything that would really hurt him?
He's been disciplined for the last 3 months. I mean, there have been a couple of things that people have kind of looked
Glenn
at.
Glenn Grothman on message?
On message, great message. He'd bring great ads. And now, remember, 4 months ago when he first kind of got this thing going, he's like, oh, he'll never raise enough money to do this. He'll never stay disciplined. He'll never be able to cut into the geographical advantage of Joe Lieben. And he did. And did a very good job. I mean, give Grothman credit. He ran a great campaign.
So you think he can stay on message for a few more weeks?
For a few more weeks? Yes. Let's see.
Okay.
But he's shown so far. I mean, he's done a good job so far. Talking to people, I think he's been on message so far.
Okay, mixed.
The governor, I mean, what we're talking about, we've talked about this for weeks now. Message-wise, he's been treading water. You know, he's now turning toward a more positive one, right? The ad saying that these people say, I got a job, you know, and thank you, governor, you know, that this is all because of Governor Walker. And he's saying that we've got this, he's calling it the Wisconsin comeback, and that Mary Burke is belittling the Wisconsin comeback. He's trying to be more focused on a positive message after trying to tear down Burke for weeks. The issue, though, is he hasn't found that message that's the silver bullet. And I'm talking to Republicans who are going, you know, this race is going to be real close. People 6 months ago said, oh, it'll be close, but Walker's going to win. Like, you know, it was, we're confident, Republicans, we're confident he's going to win. Now they're kind of going, wait a second, this is a real fight. Like, we weren't expecting to be here just out from Labor Day and be neck and neck. Now we'll see the Marquette poll next week. What will that show? But there's a real palpable kind of sense of tension of like, this guy may not be, might pull this off. You know, you're seeing now some calls for a clear second-term agenda from conservatives saying, hey, we want something to bite our teeth into.
Yeah.
So he's got a little bit of a message issue to deal with. Grader's up on the air. I am sure that that will not be left unaccounted or unresponded to, if you will, that you will see the RGA or WMC or any other alphabet groups come back. But, you know, Mary Burke is in good shape, and she can go out and say, look, I'm neck and neck with this guy, and I've got a real shot to win.
Falling.
The Medicaid money. However you feel about the Medicaid issue, I mean, it's clear.
One in five Wisconsin residents get their health care from Medicaid, JR.
So we don't have that money. So that's clear.
Okay.
But the politics are still a muddy mess, right? Are you with Scott Walker that this is the right path forward because it's prudent, we're not relying on federal money? Or are you with the Democrats saying, no, we're leaving money on the table, we could be covering more people, we could be doing more things, and costing taxpayers less? I mean, it's kind of a muddled mess again for people to walk through, to figure out what's going on here and how do I feel.
Before we close, John Doe document dump today?
Not yet. So
okay.
We'll see. It could
we'll
take
see.
A while. But again, will there be a smoking gun? That's the whole issue for Governor Walker. Is there a smoking gun? And that's what he's got to worry about. Any of these documents come out.
And then we'll talk about that if there is a gun next week. I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for August 22nd.